This is Steve Braswell. Welcome to my podcast. Can you believe that it's almost Christmas time? Hard to believe that it's just around the corner. My Advent series has been All I Want for Christmas. First week, we looked at hope. The second week, peace. The third week, joy. And today, love. If your church lights the Advent candles, it's the angel's candle of love. Let's begin with John's Gospel. John chapter 1, the very beginning of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Well, everyone likes to hear a love story. When I marry a couple, I always ask for their story and then share it at their wedding. You cannot understand the Christmas story without knowing about the love of God. Think about the way John begins his gospel. First, he mirrors the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. And he introduces his main themes, light, life, and believe. Jesus is the light. Jesus brings us life. And what we need to do is believe in him. He tells us about the Word. The Word became human flesh and tabernacled among us. And then John tells us what this is all about in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Who is this one and only Son? We'll go back to chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son has made him known, has revealed him. What is love? Love in its very essence is giving. God so loved the world that he gave. Love without giving is just words. Love is action. What is Christmas all about? Well, God is love, and God is giving himself in his Son to the world. That's what Christmas is really all about. But realize this, God didn't have to do that. God didn't have to love the world. God didn't have to give his Son. God didn't have to give us the gift of eternal life. Christmas is about God doing something he didn't have to do, but that he chose to do because he loves. What kind of love does God have for us? I think it'd be good for us to do an investigation, not CSI, but LSI, a love scene investigation. Let's investigate God's love as we prepare for Christmas by asking 7 questions about God's love. First, is it selfish or sharing? Well, it begins with God loving God, all 3 persons of the Trinity loving one another. Mark chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, we read, "Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" So you've got there the voice from heaven, Father, the Son coming up out of the water, and then the Spirit descending on him like a dove, the three persons of the Trinity present. And then the expression of love, "You are my Son whom I love." See, the three persons of the Trinity have been loving each other since eternity past. But the question is, will God have room to love anyone else? God, after eternity, time begins, God creates the world. Will God love the world, or would God just love himself? Ephesians 1, 5, and 6, we read, "In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." You see, God loves Jesus. We know that, but he freely gives us all things in Jesus. Yes, God loves God, the three persons of the Trinity, but God also now loves the world. God loves all those people made in God's own image. God's love is sharing. Second question, is it reasonable or unreasonable? That's a difficult one because God loves the unlovely. That sounds unreasonable to us. We read in Deuteronomy 7:7, "The Lord did not set his affection on you," that is God's people Israel, "and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you." So is God's love reasonable or unreasonable? God has his own reasons. It's not based on the reasons that we have in our minds, the way we look at things. It's really based on God's own reason in God's nature just to love. Romans 5, 8 and 10. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And as always, that's unreasonable. Shouldn't Christ wait to die for us when we're no longer sinners, when we clean up our acts, when we say we believe in him first? No. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Is God's love reasonable or unreasonable? I would say it's unreasonable by our standards, but reasonable in God's own nature to love. Third question, is God's love limited or unlimited? Deuteronomy 10, 17 and 18. "The Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, mighty God and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigners residing among you, giving them food and clothing." You see, God had a special love for his people Israel, yes, but it wasn't that he loved Israel and nobody else. In fact, you go back and read God's original promise to Abram before the people of Israel even started. And he said, "Through you, I'm going to show my love to all the people of the world." So see, God's love for his people Israel is special, yes, but his plan is through Israel to love the world. Psalm 145:9, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." Fourth question, is God's love skimpy or lavish? Exodus 34, 6 and 7, "The Lord passed in front of Moses proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.'" Does that sound skimpy or lavish to you? It sounds very lavish to me. Psalm 103:8, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." Fifth question, is God's love short or long? Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. God's love is everlasting and unfailing. Sixth question, doesn't have an end or beginning. 1 John 4:19-20, we love because he first loved us. If we say we love God yet hate a brother or sister, we are liars. For if we do not love a fellow believer whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. Does God's love or our love begin with us? No, it begins with God. We love because he first loved us. And then the seventh question, what can stop it? Okay, I've heard all this stuff about God's love and it sounds great and wonderful to me. And I might even think that God loves me today, but will God love me tomorrow? No matter what I do today? Maybe God loves me in this life, but after I die and go to eternity, will God love me then? Maybe something will stop God's love. Well, hang on to these verses, Romans 8:38-39. Paul writes, I am fully convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can stop it. Let me give you an example. The disciple Peter, Mark 14:71-72, Peter began to call down curses and swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately the rooster crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. Peter had been a great follower of Jesus. He'd been with him for 3 years. Now Jesus was about to be put to death. It looked like everything was coming to an end. Jesus, this was the time Jesus needed Peter the most. And yet Peter three separate times said, I don't even know him. This must be the end for Peter. No, it's not the end for God's love either. Mark 16:6-7, we read in the story of Jesus' resurrection. The angel told the women who had come to Jesus' tomb, you were looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And then notice what the angel said to the women. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, maybe even especially Peter. Peter's mentioned by name. Why? Peter felt like he was beyond God's love. And God wanted to know, no, Peter, I still love you. And I still have a plan for you and a place for you. Love really is the most important thing in life. Jesus said, the greatest commands are, number one, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Rick Warren, in his bestseller, The Purpose-Driven Life, summed up the following three lessons about love I want to share with you that I think are really important this Christmas. First, the best use of life is love. Relationships are a priority to God, and they need to be a priority to us. Because after all, when life is over, what really is the most important thing? I've been with a number of dying people, and you know what they want closest to them. Their diplomas, their financial statements, their awards. No, it's the people they love. How sad it is to see people who are so busy, but who never seem to have time for relationships. Secondly, the best expression of love is time. Relationships are messy and take a lot of effort. We all know that, but they're worth it. The best way to spell love is T-I-M-E. Let me especially encourage you to remember that for your spouse and children, those closest to you. Gary Chapman, in his book, The Five Love Languages, tells us that one of those love languages is quality time. That means giving your undivided attention to the person loved. When was the last time you did that? I've counseled lots of couples over the years, and they say, well, yes, we spend quality time together. Oh, how do you do that? Well, we sit on the couch and watch TV. Well, that's great. You're in the same room together. You're maybe interacting and talking some, but that's not quality time because you're not giving each other your undivided attention. That's what you need to show love. The best expression of love is T-I-M-E. Think about that this Christmas. Who is it that you really love the most? Give them your time and your undivided attention. Thirdly, the best time to love is now. I don't want to be morbid, but we must know that this Christmas may be the last Christmas for some in our lives. None of us knows how much longer we have to show and express love. The time to love is now. I've seen examples of this recently. People reaching out to others in time of need. People reaching out to those who are alone, perhaps for the first Christmas. People volunteering their time at local centers for those in need. What can you do to show love to those who are your relatives, who are closest to you, but also love in your community? To step beyond your normal routines to show love to someone, it might be just a simple, kind act, but it will mean the world to that person who is starving for love. What does the world need? What do you need this Christmas? You need to know that you are loved, not just by anyone, but by the God who made you and rules this universe. And not just in an all-inclusive way, like God loved the world. Yes, that's true, but in a personal way. God loves you. And here's God's offer of love in John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God's offer of love to you today is in his son Jesus, whom he sent into this world at Christmas time. And he asks you to receive him, to believe in his name, and then you will know Jesus is the one who lights up your life, who gives you light, and who gives you life, a brand new quality of life right then, and that will last forever into eternity. I hope that you will spend time this Christmas thinking about love, God's love for you, and then how you can share God's love with others. I hope you can join me next week for our podcast. The topic's going to be 6 ways to get your new year off to a great start. I thought that would be a timely one. Also want to let you know that that will be the last podcast that I'll be doing. It'll be the last one for the year, but also the last one that I'll be doing, at least for a while. I've done it now through the plan to do it through the end of the year, and then I'm going to stop. I don't know for sure if I'll start it back, but I hope that you'll join me next week, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you. And I hope that you will have a Merry Christmas.